Elaine Gallagher, it's lovely to have you in the studio with me.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. It's great to have you here.
Delighted to be here at Near FM.
So it's all about the bicycle, the Freedom Machine. We've given away the clue.
The cat's out of the bag.
The cat is out of the bag.
Yeah, the Freedom Machine. It's my stand-up comedy show. I suppose it's an audio-visual comedy show, you might say. It's a lot of it's film in it. There's PowerPoint. There's a real multimedia mix in it. And yeah, it's all about the bicycle. I suppose it's about celebrating 100 years of women, or at least some women, getting the right to vote. And the way I've kind of approached that, using the vehicle of the bicycle, if you'll forgive the pun.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I mean, we know about the suffragettes. We know about the their fight for equal rights and the vote back in the early 19th century. But when you look into the history of the bicycle, there is, I mean, and the whole anti-feminist agenda around not letting women really, I guess, jump on their bicycle and go. I mean, the bicycle is really a symbol of women's emancipation.
Yeah, absolutely is, 100%. In fact, it was often when they were making fun of suffragettes, they'd always be on their bicycle, like probably falling off the bicycle in the anti-suffragette propaganda that was out there. But yeah, it was absolutely synonymous with the move towards female suffrage. And the reason being that the bicycle changed women's lives at the end of the 19th century. It was giving them freedom. They could travel farther from home than ever before. It changed how they dressed. And eventually it was a massive contributor to women getting the right to vote.
It's incredible, really. I mean, there was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of fake news around women on the bike. I mean, they thought that maybe, you know, that one, that women got pleasure from sitting on the saddle and cycling a bicycle. They thought that the bicycle might damage their internal organs, that, you know, being out in the bad weather. There was all these, I suppose the image of the woman in the 19th century was pretty pathetic, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you think about what they were wearing in the 1800s, like they were wearing these like organ squishing corsets and long floor length dresses. Like it wasn't exactly, you know, a pair of Levi's and jump on a bike. So that's what actually changed women's dress, the bicycle did, because it was very impractical to wear those kind of clothes. So they started wearing shorter skirts and bloomers and trousers and shirt. This was far too revolutionary for some. So the reason why the show is called The Freedom Machine, by the way, is because the Freedom Machine is what they called the bicycle at the turn of the century. But they also, some of them who weren't exactly fans of the bicycle, they called it the Steed of Satan. So that's got a nice ring
goodness.
To it. Yeah, just going to hop on my Steed of Satan and off I'll go.
I mean, I love the way you say there's a worrying number of ISTS in society today. Racist, sexist, and even fascists. And then, of course, cyclist. And that connection, that parallel between the cyclist and feminist.
Yeah, I just want to make that absolutely clear. I'm not throwing cyclists in with the L racists. Very, very different group.
Yeah, of course, we've got motorists as well.
And we've got motorists, yeah. So, but yeah, I definitely saw a connection between being a cyclist and being a feminist and being a woman in general. You know, there's interesting parallels. You know, space on the road, entitlement of certain motorists, let's say. And yeah, you're very vulnerable as a cyclist on the road. You know, there's a lot of threats out there, and you know, you're always shamed then into wearing, oh, you better be wearing your high-vis and your helmet. Like, you know, the way you dress is important in both those circumstances. So there's definite parallels, yeah.
Yeah, so I love the show because you take us, it really is learning and laughter. It's a comedy, and you tell us about these wonderful women like Annie Londonderry, Susan B. Anthony, Elizabeth Cady Stanton. Tell us about some of those women, again, in the early or mid-1800s.
Yeah, so, well, Annie Londonderry is a really interesting one. She was a working-class Jewish woman, and she was the first woman in the world to cycle around the globe. And she did it for a bet, which is like the most mad thing.
Right.
It's like, not just going to do it for no reason at all. She did it for a bet.
I love it. I love these women.
So she was quite an amazing figure. And then, yeah, Susan B. Anthony, she's quoted as saying that I believe the bicycle has done more to emancipate women than anything else in the world, which it did.
Wow. I'm telling you, I mean, it's changed women's lives. It changed women's lives forever. Isn't that what they said? The world, the life of a woman would never be the same again after they got the bicycle.
That's it, yeah. At least until they've hit their first pothole and got a fella tire.
So tell us, take us through the show. I mean, your show has really evolved from, you know, something that was 7 minutes right up to something that's 50 minutes now.
Yeah, that's true. I started with, as I said, I noticed the parallels between being a cyclist and being a feminist or being a woman. So I had like a 7 minute bit of stand up about that. And then I had the opportunity to do a Head Stuff lecture. The very nice organisation, Head Stuff. They have lectures every month in the Workman's. So I did a lecture last summer, 10 minute lecture on the history of the bicycle. And that was a serious presentation of all the facts. And then I developed that content with my stand-up into a 30-minute show, comedy show, that I performed in Smock Alley at the Seen and Heard Festival in February. So that was, again, great. And so at this point now, it's 50 minutes, pure comedy.
Wow,
mixed I love it. With history, mixed with fact. And it's going to Edinburgh, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, let's not forget here, I love the fact that it's a really serious subject. I mean, you know, the idea that women really fought to be allowed to ride a bicycle.
Women fought to ride.
Yes, they fought to ride. I love it. I'm sure now your comedy is, I mean, is it for all age groups? It is it naughty in places?
I mean,
provocative.
There's a bit of that, but not too much. No, it's basically, I'd say it's 12 A's if I have to put a rating on it. Yeah, everybody can take something out of it.
It's like, so there, like, because you really do, you get into the history of it. You tell you tell the serious story and the fight that women had, you know, and the idea that women were really, as you said, there was a craze in bicycles at the end of the 1800s. I mean, there was a craze in America. And then women were made fun of. I mean, some of the cartoons around that time showed, you know, when the women did decide they couldn't wear these ridiculous dresses with all these petticoats, they wore bloomers, and they would show cartoons of the bloomers filling up with air as they rode the bicycle, and almost if they were like going to get a balloon going up into the air. I mean, it was quite nasty towards women, wasn't it? They had to fight, these new women, these so-called new women, really had to fight for that kind of right.
Yeah, they did. But I mean, I suppose they knew what was at stake, and obviously some people didn't ride the bicycle because they believed that the hashtag fake news, as you call it. But it was like, it changed women's lives so quickly that most people were on board, and, you know, you got to ignore the tabloids even back then.
And I love the fact that you also talk about, you know, women formed their own cycling clubs in the UK and Ireland.
Yeah, there were, I mean, there were a lot of cycle clubs. There weren't too many mixed ones that I know of. But yeah, there were certainly women's cycling clubs, and often they would act as breeding grounds for suffragettes. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
The fight for the franchise.
Now, you've been around the country. You've been to Tralee, and you've been to Kells. You've been to Limerick as well.
Yeah, all the hot spots.
Yes. Yeah. Tell us about how the rest of the country have taken to this freedom machine.
To the freedom machine. Yeah, I was just in Tralee actually on Friday. That was lovely. The Kerry Cycling Campaign had me down for their bike week, which was kind of delayed, but got down eventually. And that was great. They have a lovely organisation down there, and they're always trying to promote cycling in the area, so I got to perform for them, and I went down well. I think when you have cyclists in your audience, you're like already, you already have a head start.
Absolutely, I'm one myself. I love it.
Oh, there you go, there you go. So now, listen, that's not to say the show is just for a niche audience. It's, if you're interested in cycling, all the better. But also maybe if you're interested in history and women's rights, and just in comedy in general, because yeah, it's a funny show about serious topic.
It is, and of course, you know, bicycle. I mean, bicycles are so popular now. I mean, you see Dublin City. I mean, the bike lanes. Everyone's on their bicycle. It's also very contemporary. I mean, do you bring the does it come right up to modern times? Or does it stop around the time that women kind of do really finally get some rights, such as the vote?
Yeah, I mean, the first part of the show, I suppose the bulk of the show kind of goes through the history. But yeah, then later on, I do talk about contemporary situation and a bit of advice, some do's of cycling for everyone. And again, you're learning and laughing. So
I love it. So where can we see the show? I mean, before you go to Edinburgh, tell us about that. I mean, it's incredible to be part of. You're going to do the 26 shows.
26 shows, yeah. Sure, why not? Yeah, I start in Edinburgh on the 1st of August and do 26 shows. I have one day off, so the 1st to the 27th. But before I go, I'm doing some previews, as well as the ones I've done already in Kells and Tralee and Limerick and so on. I'm doing two this month in Dublin, the first being this Sunday. It's in A4 Sounds, which is a lovely cooperative. Really glad to be performing there. So A4 Sounds on St. Joseph's Parade, Dublin 1, just off Dorset Street. So that's taking place at 8 p.m. Doors open at 7, starts at 8 sharp. And then I'll also be doing one on the 18th of July as part of Jesters, the comedy night run by Chris O'Neill. And that's in Shin A. So that's on the 18th at 8 p.m. But yes, the first one this Sunday, come along to A4 Sounds.
Elaine, you're a very interesting lady. You're both the writer, the director, the producer and the performer of this stand-up piece of comedy.
Well, when you put it like that, Jesus, I do a lot. No, it's interesting to say that I directed. There's a short film that opens the show. So, yes, I did direct that. And the stage show, I had a woman called Kate Cosgrave help me direct the show for Smock Alley. It's since evolved since then into a 50-minute show, so pretty much directing that by myself. Also want to give a shout out though to two of my comedy friends, Pauline Shanahan and Eve Darcy, who are brilliant comedians themselves, and they're always helping each other out with each other's shows. So it's me, but I feel like I've got a lot of people helping and supporting me along the way.
Well, you're wonderful. Well, you're it's a one-woman show. It's going to be amazing. Hilarious is what it's called. Audiovisual stand-up show. Really looking forward to it, Elaine.
Thanks
for coming into the show this evening to chat to us. I believe you've got a little piece for us that maybe you might even...
A little bit of... Okay.
Do you want to give us a little taster from it, please?
Well, do you know what's funny? Whenever I've told anyone that I'm writing a show about the bicycle, the reaction is always quite interesting, particularly my mother's reaction.
Yeah.
Because I believe her exact words were, "Oh, I hate to puncture your pipe dream, Elaine, but if you think you can make cycling funny, you're in for a bumpy ride." Also, that helmet makes your head look massive.
Ooh.
Yeah. Now, listen, don't get me wrong, because criticism I can handle, bar the personal dig. I think that's uncalled for and reflects badly on her, to be honest. But she wasn't the only one to saddle me with doubts, and I was beginning to tire of all the negativity. What can I say? But I began to tire of all the negativity, so much so that I began to backpedal. I know. And that led to a vicious cycle of stopping and starting, feeling that my material was airtight one minute and threadbare the next.
I love it.
Really good.
And then, of course, you know, with the Edinburgh just a few weeks away, the finish line was in sight, and I was feeling the pressure.
Woo.
I was feeling the pressure. My once inflated ego, it was long burst, and I had become a basket case, if not a cycle path. But the chain was finally broken when a bell rang. Abel Jean Mayo, my old French professor, himself a keen cyclist, but only on campus, a unicyclist, if you will. penny farthing for your thoughts? I spoke to the professor at length, hi vis-a-vis my situation, and he told me I needed a break. And then he invited me to one of his fancy soirees, a real blowout with top gear and all. And there I got the advice I so desperately needed. The world does not revolve around you and your stupid show, Hélène. And who cares if your jokes fall flat? Just pump your set full of puns and see if that works. So, Maura, we'll see how it goes.
Woo! Fantastic. Thank you, Hélène.